In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's readings are a very, 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 very special reading to all people. This is not a gospel that is unfamiliar to anyone. We actually read this reading three times in the liturgical year. We read it once during Lent, and then once during the 50 days, and then once during the season of Pentecost after. This gospel is full of treasures for all believers, for the people that came to church today by mistake, or the people that are coming here to be filled. This gospel is full of life. It is not strange to any of us, and all of us know that the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. And we know that they were enemies because that the Samaritans, they were originally Jews, but then they started to worship idols and go astray, so the Jews wanted to have nothing to do with them. They started to consider them like Gentiles. They washed their hands of these people and they considered them as enemies. I want us to look at the Samaritan woman's encounter with Christ. And we're going to see four stages that Christ took her through. In the beginning, we know that Christ came up to her after a long journey and he tells her, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." When else did we hear Christ saying that he was thirsty or that he wants a drink? We know that when he was on the cross, he said, "I thirst." What are you thirsty for, Lord? You're at the end of your life. "I'm thirsty for the salvation of your souls. I am thirsty for each and every one of you to be in my kingdom." And she looks to him and says, "Look, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And we know that the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, so why are you talking to me?" The first thing that she called Christ, or the first greeting that she gave Christ was, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You are somebody that I am the enemy of." How many of us approach Christ in this way? How many of us, maybe there are people in here today that are saying, "Look, I'm God's enemy. I'm so deep in my sin. I'm so deep in my ways. You're too good for me. I can't walk in your ways. Let's just count our losses. Let's make our losses short, cut our losses short and say, you know what? You're my enemy and we can't have a relationship." And there are people in the church today that have that heart that say, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. What do you have to do with me?" But Christ in his sweetness, though she's acknowledging herself as his enemy, he says, "If you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." What is this, Lord? What is this? Somebody is blatantly telling you we're enemies, and you're talking about giving gifts? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Give to who, Lord? Give to the Samaritan woman? Not only is she the enemy of the Jews, but you know the Jews, they weren't very fond of women. They were kind of like Sa'ida. They didn't want to deal with women very much. So not only is she a Samaritan, but she's a woman, and she's a sinner woman. And here you have Christ saying, "I want to give you a gift. Just ask me, and I'll give you the gift of living water." But Lord, she came to you like she was feisty from the beginning. "Why are you talking to me?" Of course, it's strange that a woman would be feisty, right? It's very not common that we find women that would be feisty at a time like this. But here we have the Samaritan woman. She comes saying, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan." I'm afraid that too many of us are in that stage. Too many people come at God and we tell him, "Let's just end it like this. I can't walk with you. I can't walk with you. We're too different. Your way is too difficult. I'm living a whole different life. I don't want to deal with you. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And Christ, in his patience and his love, continues. After he says, if you know the gift of God and I want to give you living water, she began to wake up. And she addresses him this time. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She realized Christ is different. She began to become spiritually aware. That's why he's no longer Jew, no longer you're my enemy. When Christ approached her with love, saying, I want to give you the gift of life. I want to give you that living water. Then she began to call him, sir. She began to respect him. And I know there are many people in their spiritual lives that are in that level. I remember when we went to Africa about 11 years ago, a young girl came with us on the trip. And as we were about to go and preach in the villages and visit the different houses, she's sitting in the van. She's like, guys, what are we doing? Why are we bothering these people? If they want to worship trees, let them worship trees. And I'm like, this girl came on this trip by accident, I think. I think she didn't know where she was coming. I think she just thought she was coming to like a safari or something in Africa. And here she's saying, we have to respect people. If they want to worship this way, let them worship this way. There are too many people in the spiritual life who are saying, Lord, I respect you as God, but we have to be tolerant. Tolerant of certain sins, tolerant of certain ways of life, tolerant of religions, tolerant of different gods in this world. I respect you. You seem like a nice man, but we have to be tolerant. How many of you are tolerating something in your life? Tolerating some sin and saying, look, Lord, I have respect for you. You're a good God. You're a good guy. But let's be honest. We just have to be open-minded in this day and age. We just have to think differently. And she says, wait a second. You're coming, you're telling me you want to give me living water, but you don't have a bucket. What bucket are you talking? What water are you talking about? She started to become spiritually aware that there's something different about him. Are you in that point where you have a bit of spiritual awareness? She's saying the well is deep and you don't have a bucket. How are you going to draw this water? You see, she was still stuck on the physical. She was still stuck on the physical way of thinking or the worldly way of thinking. Nicodemus was the same way and he was a teacher of Israel. In the chapter before that, Christ is coming and saying, you have to be born again. You have to be born of water and spirit so that you may enter into the kingdom of God. And he says, you want to tell me I'm going to go back into my mother's womb? Christ is saying, you're too stuck on the physical. Same thing with the Samaritan woman, and same thing you're going to see next week. The paralyzed man in John chapter 5. The water that was stirred up by the angel, and if I don't get in that water, I'm not going to be healed. His eyes were on the physical. And Christ is saying, I'm right here. I am right here. She said, are you greater than Jacob? Christ says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Stop thinking in a physical way. Stop thinking like the rest of the world. We have to be different. He's saying, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So maybe all of you are saying, all of us have tasted this living water, right? All of us have tasted the living water. The living water is the Holy Spirit, or it's the work of the Spirit in your life. It is the spiritual life that I'm going to ask you. If you've tasted of the living water, is it a fountain? How many of us are familiar with someone that is a fountain of living water? That has a fountain of living water springing up out of them. You come into their presence and God is oozing out of their ears. Abuna Mshoi Kamil, Abuna Makhil Ibrahim, all these great saints, they were sources of living water to those that they served. They were sources of living water to their enemies. They were sources of living water to people who don't believe in their God. Everywhere they went, fountains of living water were springing up out of them. So that when people saw them, they say they were different. Have you drunk from the living water? Because he says, it will become in him. If you drink of my water that I give you, it's going to become in you a fountain of living water. Have you drunk of the living water or not? Is there a fountain springing out of you? Is there such a life of God living through you? Is God living his life through you? Then maybe you haven't tasted the living water. Maybe you are at that place where you see God as a sir. You give him respect. You give him the respect that he deserves. But there's no fountain in you. How often do we look to ourselves and say, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have that fountain of living water? The fountain of living water are to those that are spiritual. St. Paul says, walk according to the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk according to the Spirit. Stop focusing on the physical. Stop thinking like the rest of the world. That when you're fasting, your body is telling you, you need water. You need food. And the Spirit is saying, no, fast more. God is hungry to be with you. Pray more. When your body is saying go to sleep, your spirit is saying no, stay up and pray. Be watchful. Stay up throughout the night. Have fellowship with God. Don't give in to your flesh. That's how you know if you've drunk of the living water. It's that living water that is springing up into everlasting life. It's the life of the Spirit. For the lusts of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the two are contrary to one another. So he's talking about the life in the Spirit. My living water is the life in the Spirit, and I promise you, you'll never come back to this well again. She said, give me that water. I need that water. I hate this place. I drank of the water of the world and it brought me to depression. And now I'm ashamed of myself. And everybody hates me. And everybody knows my sins. My sins have led me to destruction. The water of the world, the water of lust, the water of money, the water of eating food and being obsessed with it, the water of my image, the water of the world led her to destruction. How many of us are drinking of that water? The two are contrary to one another. The two don't agree. If you are drinking of that water, you are definitely not drinking of the living water. And that's what Christ is saying. Ya binti, change your mind. You have to change your way of thinking. This is living water. She says, I don't want to come to this well anymore. I want that living water. He says, you want the living water? I'll give it to you one condition. Go give me your husband. Bring your husband to me. She says, I have no husband. He says, that you have rightly said. You have had five husbands, and the man that you are living with now is not your husband. He says, if you want that living water, you need to get rid of your husband. You need to get rid of what it is that you have married yourself to, what it is that you have tied yourself to. He's saying, look, I want to be your husband. That's why you find in the readings, in the Gospel of Matins, it's the Gospel of the wedding and being invited to the wedding. He's saying, look, you want the living water? How about you forget that husband? How about you forget the water of the world and I be your husband? That you and I would become one. You and I have an intimacy. You and I have become so special that we forget the whole world and we just enjoy this living water. You can forget the shame. You can forget the guilt. You can forget the life that you are hating every day. She's saying, what do I have to do? She looks to him and she says, I perceive that you are a prophet. Wow, look at the change. First, you're a Jew, you're my enemy. Then, she calls him sir. So, okay, she's easing up a little bit. Now she's saying, I perceive that you're a prophet. But Christ says, that's not enough. I can't have you thinking that I'm a prophet. Because all the Jews before me, I sent them prophets and they preached the word of God and they ended up killing the prophets. So I can't have you be looking at me as a prophet. How many of us look to God as a prophet? How many of us are sitting here today and saying, God has nice words, great teachings and great words, but at the end of the day, I'm going to end up killing him with my sin. Him being a prophet isn't enough for me. You're coming, you're attending, you're listening. Wonderful. Christ is a prophet. But we're going to see how Christ took her to the final stage. She begins to talk about, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you guys worship on that mountain. And she's talking about worship. What is this? The Samaritan woman living in sin, who doesn't care about worship, or doesn't care about the Jewish life, or the Samaritan life, or the ways of worship. She never cared about it before. But now God is working in her. And she starts talking about worship, and he says, look, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The whole time I'm trying to tell you, you have to be spiritual. God is worship. He's not going to go by all these Jewish rituals that they were just stuck in and they didn't see behind the rituals. They didn't see the God behind the rituals. And the Samaritans who are also worshiping in vain, he's saying, we're neither going to worship on this mountain or that mountain. We're going to worship in spirit and truth. We're going to worship by the Holy Spirit and truth, who is Christ himself. Are you ready to be spiritual? Then I'll give you the living water when you're ready to be spiritual. When you're ready to forget the physical, forget the ways of the world, forget the temptations of the flesh, and stick to the ways of the Spirit. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. I know that God is sending a Messiah. She began to say, there's going to be a Redeemer. Do you know him? When is he coming? He's the one that's going to tell us all things. And so far, you already told me everything about myself. Christ responded to her and said, I who speak to you am he. The original is ego emi, which is Yahweh. I am who I am. I want to ask you, is God, is Christ God? Because if he is God to you, then you're going to do like the Samaritan woman. You're going to take your water pot, you're going to leave it behind, and you're going to give your whole life to him. You're going to say whole life to him. Abuna, let's be practical. We all have work, we have lives, and we have children, and we have bills, and we have this. Look at what the Samaritan had to face. Where did she go to give her life? She went back to the city of the Samaritans, who she was running away from, and she wanted to have no dealings with them, which is why she came to the well at the hottest time of the day. She's running away from these people. How is it that now she can go back and she preached to them? And she told them what? I want you to think about it. You have this Samaritan woman who all the Samaritans knew about, married 5 husbands. The one she's living with is not her husband. Il musibadi. She goes and tells people, I met a man and he told me everything that I ever did. Ada, that's a crisis. We don't want to know what you did. We all know what you did. That's not a surprise to any of us. But she was able to discover that God revealed himself. And because he revealed himself to me, and he discerned my spirit, and he worked in me, and he told me about the living water, and I drank of that living water, you have to have it too. I can't see the rest of the world living according to the flesh, according to the world. Deb, you're not embarrassed. You're not shy to go to these men and tell them that you found a man that told you everything that you ever did. No, because she's living in the Spirit. She doesn't care about the opinions of others. She should obey God rather than men. St. Paul said, for if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. If Christ to you is God, and Christ is revealing himself to you, ego emi, Yahweh, then you would have reacted in the same way as the Samaritan woman. Find out what's causing you to keep going back to the wells of the world, the water of the world, and the shame, and the sins, and the image, and all of this of the world, and leave it behind. Then I'll know that you've seen God. And that's what the Samaritan saw. They saw in her that she must have seen God. She must have. Let us see with our eyes, because there's something different about you. Have you left your water pot? Maybe Christ is still a Jew to you. Maybe you're still his enemy. Maybe you're still saying, I'm your enemy and I'm going to continue in my ways. Maybe you're at the point where you're saying, sir, and you look to him and you say, I respect you, but I respect also many other things in my life. Or you're a prophet to me, Lord. And you look to Christ as a prophet. He comes and he teaches and he gives us nice words in the Word of God. And we take our quiet times, but not enough to change me. Not enough to let the deception in my heart go away. Deceiving myself that that relationship is okay. That impure relationship. Or these bad habits that I'm doing. Or the things that I'm running after. Focusing all my energy on money and my career and my retirement. All these things. And there's no time for God. The life of the flesh. He's saying, until you see me as Messiah and God, you will never leave that water pot behind. Today Christ is saying to the disciples, he's saying, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. The disciples couldn't see that. But the Samaritan woman saw it. He's telling the disciples, look before you, look at the harvest, go and reap. I've already sowed. I've already done the work. Go and reap of this harvest. And they couldn't see it. The Samaritan woman on her own, when she drank of the living water, she went and she changed all of the Samaritans. We're going to stand before her on that day, on the last day when we stand before the throne of God. What are we going to say? Well, here we are, the disciples. And we're saying, what food did you eat? He's saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And she discovered it. This woman, who was in the depths of her sin, could discover. And she drank of the living water, and she was the greatest. She was the greatest. Christ looked to her and said, مفيش حد زيك. No one's like you. You drank and you left it all and you gave your whole life and you began to live in the Spirit. How can I have people in the church coming, drinking of the water, and there's no fountains? Because you're not drinking of the living water. We need to give him our spirit and our bodies and our minds and our hearts and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. I'm not coming here just as a body. My whole being is coming to worship you, Lord. Can you accept me today? When you will worship him and discover that you can worship God in spirit and in truth, then you'll leave your whole life behind. All the sins, all the temptations, and you'll follow him and you'll never go back to the well again. I pray that today we would discover Christ as God. And when you discover him as Christ as God, it'll reflect in your life by leaving the water pot. Leaving all to follow him and to be his vessel for the glory of his name. And glory be to God forever. Amen.